Wait a minute. I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
That always makes me laugh. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And I was too buried in preparing for this segment to listen to CBS News. Did you notice, Nicole, did they even mention this story that we're leading with here? This
I national don't think news? So. I started getting alerts at 59, so I'm guessing they didn't get to it in time. Yeah. So I don't think so.
It's breaking news. And I have to give you, Nicole, a ton of credit for remembering what you remembered. So the breaking news is one of the great voices in the history of rock music, Ronnie Spector, from Ronnie Spector and the Ronettes, has just passed away. And the family just moments ago released a statement. Our beloved earth angel, Ronnie, peacefully left this world today after a brief battle with cancer. She was with family and in the arms of her husband, Jonathan. That's how we all want to go, with family and loving arms. But you remembered something, Nicole, that kind of blows my mind that you remembered this. And not only remembered it, but then quickly jumped to work to pull this clip for us.
Well, this is my, I maybe second to only Trump because it was such a big deal. But this is my favorite interview. And any time that we get a chance to play a best of, I mean, I don't play it every best of, but at least once a year, I play this as a best of interview.
I was so sad when Eddie Money died. And the interview that Nicole's talking about is Eddie Money, because I felt like he and I really bought, and he knew, this was the thing that was cool. He knew about our show. He
did his work.
He did a lot of homework. He knew about the show. And then we actually
didn't know he pretended.
we actually bonded so much that we made a date that I was going to barbecue salmon next time he had a show here in the greater Seattle area. And I really think he was going to come over and have salmon at my house with me and Nicole and all of our loved ones. And so when Eddie Money, because it wasn't that long after we interviewed Eddie Money that he passed away. And a few months after he passed away, my wife and I went and saw Bob Seger at the Tacoma Dome. And he had a little tribute during his show of great rock and roll stars that had been lost in the last year or so. And when Eddie Money's picture went up on the screen, I got really emotional. I got a little teary-eyed just because he was such a great guest on the show and such a good guy. And so
I was just talking about it this weekend too, because my family did a little karaoke thing this weekend and I played the song and I said, this was my favorite interview. And I told the story that he's going to tell in this cut.
Yeah. So when we had Eddie Money on, I talked to him about his song, Take Me Home Tonight, which, you know, in my youth, in my college days, the 80s, Eddie Money was a staple on MTV. And, you know, he had that, you know, kind of weird, almost a grimace on his face when he would sing. And this is one of his many great, great songs, Take Me Home Tonight. But it used the vocals of Ronnie Spector. And the reason we can pull this and play this for you right now is because, as we just said, the breaking news just coming in was Ronnie Spector just passed away after a brief battle with cancer. So here was my conversation with Eddie Money about him using Ronnie Spector in the song.
Everybody liked the chorus, but what I really loved about the song was Be My Little Baby, because when I was a kid, Be My Little Baby was the biggest hit in the world. It's just like Dennis Wilson Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. That's also his favorite song. And that was one of my favorite songs. And I called Ronnie up, and she had quit the business. She wasn't in the business anymore. I called her up, and she said, oh, you're Eddie Money, that song, Two Tickets to Paradise. Yeah. I said, what are you doing? She says, I don't sing anymore. It was a bunch of clinking and clacking. Yeah. She was doing the dishes. She had a couple of kids, and she got married to a lawyer. She was doing the dishes, and I talked her into coming out and being in the video and being on that song. And I got to tell you, she got the bug back. And then she started going back down on the road again. And what's not better than going to see Ronnie Spector sing and Be My Little Baby?
Oh, my goodness. Well, and just the way, so here was your version that included her, of course. What, the way she sings that, Addie, that's one of the sexier lines in rock and roll, the way she sings that in your song there.
She's like me. She's a Brooklyn girl. I don't even remember. There's an older group called Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. They had a song called Why Do Fools Fall in Love? Why do fools fall in love? And she grew up in the same neighborhood as Frankie Lyman. And if you listen to Frankie Lyman sing and you listen to Ronnie Spector sing, she copied Frankie Lyman from Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. You
okay.
Know?
She, Nicole, I'm getting teary-eyed listening to this again.
No,
just
don't.
Remembering how Eddie Money was the greatest guest imaginable.
He really was.
He was so engaged and engaging and telling stories. And the thing about Ronnie Spector, my goodness, that... I'm in awe that you remembered that in the seconds that you heard that Ronnie Spector passed away.
I just told the story this weekend. It's crazy to me that it was relevant to this week's shows as well.
Wow.
And I played it as a best of on New Year's Eve.
Oh, we played the Eddie Money back?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it truly is. It's one of my favorite all-time interviews just because he was so, and I, you know, with guys like that, when they've been doing interviews for their entire life, we work our butts off to find stuff that maybe they haven't talked about a billion times. And I think he appreciated that too. So that was, that was good.
I love that song so much too. That's such a great song.
Yeah. Take Me Home Tonight. And then again, the one that it was based on. Andrew, do you have a little Be My Little Baby with Ronnie and the Ronettes?
Now this always makes me think of Dirty Dancing.
Oh, that's right. That's good stuff there. All right, Ronnie
really
Spector just passed away. The announcement from her family just moments ago. But I'm serious. The way Eddie Money used her in that song. I'm serious. That might be the second sexiest line ever sung. In rock and roll history, Ronnie Spector
is first, still first.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. Olivia Newton-John, Kick Your Shoes Off. That's always going to be the sexiest. One more time, Ronnie.
Be my little baby my darling.
Oh, oh, oh. I feel the hunger. Oh! All right. Ronnie Spector has passed away, but what a legacy of music she leaves. And a good reason to remember our buddy, Eddie Money, who we lost a couple of years ago after his battle with cancer. So there you go. Breaking news just coming into us here on the Dory Monson Show. All right. With all of that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Something amazing is happening around the country. State after state after state is discovering that their revenues are way up from what they projected. The economic recovery in the, at the state level has been pretty good. And so even left-wing Democratic-run states are cutting taxes. I've got a bunch of headlines in front of me from the Associated Press. California governor proposes tax cuts. From Syracuse.com, New York Governor Kathy Hochul proposes $2.3 billion in tax relief for middle class and small business. From U.S. News and World Report, Maryland Governor proposes $4.6 billion in tax relief. The Maryland Governor, he just announced that this morning.
Today, we are announcing the largest tax cut package in state history.
Yeah, $4.6 billion in Maryland. From KansasCity.com, the extra revenue means that they're going to cut taxes in both Kansas City and in Missouri. From WABE, flush Georgia revenue could bring tax cuts. From the Daily Iowan, legislative leaders look to tax cuts in 2022. You want me to keep going? I can. I've got a bunch more, but I'm not going to. So how much are we going to save here in Washington? Huh? What? Jay Inslee's going to raise taxes? Come on! Jay Inslee had his State of the State address yesterday, and all he talked about was spending, global warming, climate change, homelessness, spending, more and more. Now, just so you know, in Washington, they have a gigantic budget surplus. They thought that in the next 2 years, they were going to take in $56 billion, which is obscene, by the way. $56 billion to run Washington State. When Jay Inslee took over 9 years ago, it was $35 billion. He has jacked up state spending $21 billion to $56 billion. And with the $56 billion, they still have a surplus. They have a balanced budget. They have a surplus. But now they have a new projection. They are actually going to take in not $56 billion. They're going to take in $60.2 billion. So they're going to have an extra $4 billion. So is Jay Inslee going to do what Democrat and Republican governors all around the country are doing? Is he going to cut our taxes? Nope. Jay Inslee is going to spend. Now, that Maryland governor, listen to what he said when he announced the biggest tax cut in his state's history, Larry Hogan.
Today, we are announcing the largest tax cut package in state history, which will deliver more than $4.6 billion in much-needed relief for working families, for small businesses, and retirees.
Working families, small businesses, and retirees. Couldn't all those groups use a little help here in Washington? But no, Jay Inslee has gone radical. This is the same guy, of course, when the state budget was $35 billion. I've played this 35 billion times, and I'll play it 35 billion more. Jay Inslee, 9 years ago, when he was running for governor on this show.
You've said you would not raise taxes. Do you pledge to my listeners that as governor, you will not raise taxes or support tax increases in this state?
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
That's a lie. He knew he was lying at the time, but he thought he had to say that to beat Rob McKenna back then. And so he was willing to lie, even though he immediately started raising taxes as governor. So now we have an absolutely out-of-control state government, and Jay Inslee, what he plans to do is all kinds of brand-new spending to spend that $4 billion extra instead of giving it back to us, because it is our money. It's kind of like if you go to Safeway and you buy something that's $5 and you're at the self-service scanner, beep, and you look up and it says $7. And you call over the worker and say, oh, look, this $5 and came up $7. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. And then they, you know, put their little code in, they reduce the price, and they give you your money back. That's, Jay Inslee's the exact opposite. If we get overcharged, which is what's happening right now, we are paying much more in taxes than what we should be paying because it's delivering $4 billion bonus dollars to Jay Inslee. Jay Inslee said, oh, no, that's my money. That's not your money. I'm just going to keep it. Why do you put up with that? Why do the people of this state put up with that? You wouldn't put up with it at Target or at Trader Joe's or at Safeway. Why do you put up with it when Jay Inslee says, oh, we overcharged? Okay, we'll just keep it. And I'll find ways to spend it. Because it's every bit as wrong in this case. And as I said, there are a dozen states around the country in a similar situation that are going to cut taxes and return that money to the people. Washington just happens to not be one of those states. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
We've talked a lot about child abuse, about making kids eat outside in 38 degrees, not letting kids see their friends' faces, whether it's at, you know, soccer practice or at school. How about this dad, who, so he could get some TikTok fame, he recorded a video with his kid. And this is just so wrong on so many levels. And the kid looks like the kid's doing a hostage video. Because after the kid answers the dad, kind of gives sideways glances, looking for some approval from dad, so dad can get his TikTok fame.
Hey.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Mo.
Mo. Go ahead and answer the question. Are you a boy or are you a girl?
I am neither, actually.
What? Get out of town. What's that mean?
That means I am gender fluid.
Gender fluid? So what do you like to be called if you're gender fluid?
I prefer they, them, so it's not just like having a new like pronoun every day making it super difficult.
All right, they, them. Gotta be honest. What's this gender fluid mean?
So instead of being one solid gender, my gender changes each day, month, week, it all depends. Like, so one day I could be a boy, the next day I could be a girl, agender, pangender.
Okay, one day I can be a boy, the next day I can be a girl, which of course flies in the face. Well, anyway, let's get back to the dad's video.
And so forth.
Oh, all right. But, you know, the people really want to know. You are clearly born either a boy or a girl. It's got to be one or the other, right? I mean, it's what they say. What is it? Answer.
Well, I personally think it's none of your business, and you don't need to know what's in my pants.
Huh. You know what? I agree. It's not really any of your business.
That's really great parenting there, to use your child so you can get clicks on TikTok. All right, and finally in the Big Lead, coming up next, I told you about a little girl who got kicked out of theater class last night down in Ranton.
I got kicked out on the first day of highlighters. I will bite back. I will.
And the 7-year-old got kicked out because she was not vaccinated. And vaccinating 7-year-olds, of course, does not make any public health sense whatsoever. I'm going to talk to the mom of that kid coming up next, right after we check the news. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We'll talk to the mom of the girl who got kicked out because she wasn't vaccinated. That's next on the Dory Monson Show. I got an email last night from a local mom who got my attention with her opening line. I'm heartbroken, furious, all the things right now. I'm deeply saddened to share that a local Burien theater group, the Highliners Theater, humiliated my 7-year-old daughter tonight. The mom is Diane. I told her we would look into it. We have. We've talked to the theater. They don't want to go on the air with us. But let me get the story from the mom first. Here is Diane, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Diane, I appreciate you reaching out to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for showcasing our story here.
Yeah. Well, tell me what happened to your seven-year-old last night.
So she has been a participant in Highliners for about 3 years. She's gone to their program. They do after-school programs for kids five or four through, like, high school.
Okay.
And she's been in this class for forever. They, I guess, changed their guidelines at the end of last year. She got to class. We actually all as a family just recovered from COVID here in the last week. So she missed her first class last Tuesday. So yesterday was her first time back after, you know, the holiday break. Took her to class like we've always taken her to class. And then shortly after dropping her and my youngest daughter, my four-year-old, off, I got a call from her instructor requesting that I come pick her up. I mean, it was almost a call from, you know, the principal's office kind of thing.
Right. Did they tell you why? Why that you had to come pick her up right away?
They did. I said, well, what's going on? And they said, well, she doesn't have her proof of vaccination. And I said, well, she's seven. And they said, yeah, we updated our policy. All students age five and older have to be vaccinated to participate in class. I was rather taken aback.
That's well, not the standard. Yeah, I mean, when you wrote to me about this, I was thinking, I'm trying to think of mandates for five plus. And in fact, today in our state, the Board of Health is considering whether to mandate vaccinations for all school kids K through 12. And that's something that could happen in our state. But as of right now, I don't know of too many five plus. I know of some 12 plus mandates, but I don't know of too many with 7 year olds. You know, but I guess the flip side of that is they are a private organization, and aren't they free to set their own rules, even if you and I may disagree with them?
Of course. And I mean, I've always been a proponent of private businesses taking a stance on things, right? However, it just feels, and this is why I wrote to you, it feels dangerous, right? It feels like that Pandora's box, like this doubling down on policy that is just running out of control like a freight train. it worries me for so many reasons. But what was so heartbreaking about this last night was how it was handled from a communication standpoint with Highliners, how it was handled in the moment with my child, and how little communication on, you know, exemptions, or how little, you know, common sense is happening in these policies. Like I said, we all actually just recovered from COVID. And in the conversation with her teacher, where I was shocked that she would even need to have provide proof of vaccination, I actually even did communicate to her teacher, we actually all just recovered from COVID. She's like the least risky student in your classroom right now.
Yeah, your kid has natural immunity.
Exactly.
So there are two things at play here for me, to be perfectly honest with you. So part of it is they're a private business. They should have sovereignty. They can make their own rules, and you can decide whether to patronize them or not. Then the flip side of that, and this is where I really empathize with you, is what we're doing to our kids right now is absolutely criminal. And it is like these adult rules that are nonsensical are destroying our kids emotionally and psychologically. And I don't think any of us know what kind of effect this is going to have on our children 5, 10, 20 years from now, when they've never seen a friend's face at school, when they can't have any kind of interaction in a theater group. And what we're doing in the name of this almost cult-like mindset about COVID, you know, why I've called it the branch COVIDians, I'm really worried what we're doing to our kids. Now, having said all of that, I still support a private business having the right to set their own rules and you deciding whether or not to patronize them. But I fear that rules like that are really dangerous and damaging to our kids right now.
Absolutely. I mean, from my daughter's perspective, it was, she felt, you know, singled out and kind of demonized. I mean, again, this is the class that she's participated in. She brought a present for her friend that she's known in the class for years, didn't get to see her friend open that present. And it was just like, I mean, she's already there. Like at this point, I mean, if you're thinking about it logically, right, the exposure damage is done. She's there.
Right.
I can't understand why they would need to kick her out of class, like why I would need to come pick her up immediately, why it couldn't be dealt with after the fact. And furthermore, to participate in this class. She's never been, like, I've never had immunization records requested for anything.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I absolutely agree private businesses should be allowed to, you know, I support a private business's decision to set their own policies. I just worry, exactly like you, why are we doing this, right?
Yeah.
And how far is it going to go? And that's why I reached out, because if this is allowed to become normal, how many other things, like, where does it end?
Right. Well, and we're doing untold damage to our kids right now. We did reach out to the theater group. They didn't want to come on air, but here's what they told us, Diane. They said that they have a performance coming up this weekend, that there are a lot of parents whose kids are vaxxed, and they're nervous if your daughter, I mean, they didn't say your daughter specifically, but if an unvaxxed kid is there, they're nervous, and they had to decide which parents did they want to tick off. Did they want to tick off the ones whose kids are vaccinated and don't want to be with your daughter, or did they want to tick off Diane, whose daughter was, yeah, and that's what they told us, that they just had a decision to make, and they had a show they wanted to put on this weekend. They were afraid that they wouldn't be allowed to if it, you know, flew in the face of their rules. So that was their reaction to us when we checked in with them.
Yeah, I mean, the flip side to that, of course, is if those parents are so concerned, are they not participating in anything else outside of their doors right now? Because it's not the policy anywhere else, right? It's 12
and
up.
Point.
It's not 5 and up. So if they're so scared, are they locking themselves at home? Are their kids going to school? I mean, why would you feel the need to do something so much further than what is in minimum even the Washington state standard, which is a stricter standard by comparison to the rest of the country? Why go so far?
I know everybody's just running scared right now, and we're erring on the side of damaging children, and that's what bothers me the most. I know these are tough times. They're tough times for parents. They're tough times for extracurricular groups like this. But the fact that every decision that's being made is erring on the side of what I am absolutely convinced is psychologically damaging to kids, and is not physically protecting our kids at all, because they're at no danger whatsoever. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to hear your story and get your story out there. I think it's outrageous that everybody in our society these days seems comfortable with the kind of damage we're doing to children with all this.
Agreed. I attended a rally with this daughter in question at 6 at the time, back in September, and talked at the time about how it kind of, it hit me, my 4-year-old just turned 4 here in November. Over half of her life now, she has had to participate in things with a mask over people's faces, right?
Yeah.
The damage, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The damage that's being done to these kids is irreparable. I mean, there are children now who are suffering social emotional intelligence, right? Because the most simple form of feedback, a facial expression, has been censored from their worldview for 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a lot of kids, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old, who have never seen a human face outside of their own home. How people are comfortable with that is absolutely beyond me. Well, I'm happy to get your story out there. I understand the theater's perspective just from a pure business standpoint, but the larger point that you're making is the one I'm most passionate about, and that's that I think everybody should reconsider what we're doing to our kids, because we are harming them much more than we're protecting them right now.
Absolutely, and thank you. And that's exactly where I was sitting at. It was just she felt singled out, and it's almost like this vaccine culture, right? A cult, right?
Yep.
If you're not in, you're out. And there was almost no empathy in getting her out of the class.
Understood. All right. Well, Diane, all my best to you and your daughter and to your family.
Thank you.
You're going through this, but hopefully some sanity will prevail one of these days. We'll keep trying to get the word out about that.
All right. Thank you so much, Dory.
Okay. Thank you, Diane. Diane, local mom whose daughter was kicked out of a theater class last night for being unvaccinated at age 7. Love to know what you think about all this. You can text us at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. I've got no time to waste because we've got lots of audio to share with you and our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
The insanity continues at a Ronald McDonald House. A dad who is there with his family because their four-year-old son has leukemia just got an eviction notice because of COVID.
So this is a piece of paper. Can Lindsay zoom in on it? This is an eviction notice, I believe, to anybody older than five who's not vaccinated.
So if you're older than five and not vaccinated, you're going to get kicked out of Ronald McDonald House. And this guy couldn't believe it, so he asked to speak to a manager.
Like, we got this last night.
Yes.
It's just pretty disturbing. I'm just wondering if it's legit. Is this saying that, like, everybody who's not vaccinated is getting evicted?
No, we have a grace period to which you can get your first dose. Yeah. But essentially, as of January 17th, it's a board mandate from our...
In 5 days, they're getting evicted because they're not vaccinated.
Let me get this straight. So by the end of the month, my four-year-old boy with leukemia is getting evicted because we don't have a vaccine?
Parents.
This is, if he was 6 months older, he would be getting evicted. But yeah, because we don't have the vaccine, you're going to throw us on the snow with a few weeks' notice. Like, this is some kind of crazy evil.
This is some kind of crazy evil. Yeah, kicking a family whose four-year-old son has leukemia out because they're not vaxxed. There's no public health reason. They're wearing masks, but they're getting kicked out of Ronald McDonald House. It's crazy. Joe Biden, speaking of, well, crazy. Joe Biden spoke in Georgia yesterday. He wants Democrats to be able to steal elections with a voting manipulation bill where the feds would control how every state runs their elections. And as he was speaking, he told a lie that he's been busted on many times in the past, but he suggested that he got arrested marching for civil rights back in the 60s.
I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old I was there as well. Hey, you think I'm kidding, man? Seems like yesterday the first time I got arrested. Anyway.
First time I got arrested for marching in civil rights marches. That's funny because we have somebody who says absolutely Joe Biden never marched in civil rights marches. That person who contradicts Joe Biden is Joe Biden.
During the 60s, I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement. I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.
I was not out marching. That's funny. Yesterday, Joe Biden said he was getting arrested marching in civil rights marches in the South, and Joe Biden says he never marched in civil rights marches. I don't know who to believe, Joe Biden or Joe Biden. And then finally, oh, and Joe Biden, he doesn't like speaking with a mask on either.
I've been able to do, as I'm able, this looks stupid, I've been able to generate significant federal help.
He pulled off that stupid mask, he said. And then finally, we played at the beginning of the hour, Ronnie Spector has just died, one of the great voices in music history. So we revisited our Eddie Money conversation about her. Oh, such a great song.
Everybody liked the chorus, but what I really loved about the song was Be My Little Baby, because when I was a kid, Be My Little Baby was the biggest hit in the world. It's just like Dennis Wilson Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys. That's also his favorite song. And that was one of my favorite songs. And I called Ronnie up, and she had quit the business. She wasn't in the business anymore. I called her up, and she said, oh, you're Eddie Money. That song, Two Tickets to Paradise. Yeah.
Oh, Be My Little Baby. And yeah, Brian Wilson said that changed music forever. Play, bring it up here. Bring it up here, Andrew. Pump out with this. All right, I have to get out of here. The John and Sherry Show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you back here tomorrow at noon. Hey, hello.
I want to say hi to Bridget, to Marianne, to Pizza Face. He doesn't have the world's greatest complexion. And I tell you, Seattle, Tacoma, it's the greatest place in the world to live up there. The air is nice and clean. You got a lot of rain, and the people are the greatest.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.